10, you can stand up, and after we read this one verse in Romans 10, you can sit down. Just stand up there while we read. Romans chapter 10, verse 15, let's begin there. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You may have a seat. And after you sit down, turn with me to John chapter number 1. John 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, 1. So that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John. John was a, tell me, he was a disciple of Jesus. He was one of Jesus' disciples. He walked with him. There was also John the Baptist. And here, this is talking about John. John here is talking about a man sent from God whose name was John. Talks about John. Then I believe it's John the Beloved saying, we beheld his glory. It could have been John the Baptist, but I believe it was the writer saying that. We, as disciples, we beheld his glory. They've seen his miracles. Can you imagine having seen Jesus turn the water into wine? Could you imagine having seen Jesus take that little lad's 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed a multitude of over 5,000 people with that? Can you imagine that? Could you imagine seeing Jesus walk on water? These disciples seen that. They seen him walk on the water. So the Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Romans chapter 10 says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Who was the Word of God? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who was the Word of God? Jesus was. All right. Matthew chapter number 8, verse 23. Let's read there first. The Bible says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that when Jesus walked into that ship, do you believe, do you think that he knew there was a storm coming? How many of you believe he knew that? He's Jesus. He knew that. How many of you believe his disciples knew it? Do you think that they would have thought twice about following him onto the ship if they knew that there was a storm coming? But they didn't know. But they did. They trusted him. And they trusted his leadership. And so they followed him. And the key to the Christian life is not knowing what tomorrow holds. It's knowing who holds tomorrow.
Right.
And it's trusting in the leadership of Jesus Christ, not worrying or being fearful of what could happen. The disciples didn't get to the ship and say, well, I wonder what could happen if we follow him. They followed him. You'll never do anything for God if you worry and wonder about what could happen.
Right.
It's not what can happen, it's who's in charge. That's who you trust. But here's what happened. The Bible says that Jesus was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And it says, and the Word was God. The Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. So the disciples were afraid. A storm arose on the ship. How many of you have ever been aboard a ship when a storm arose? You've been there?
Oh, yeah. I've been in about all of them.
You've been in them? You've been in them? Anybody else ever been aboard a ship out in the middle of the sea or the ocean? And these gentlemen have been. I never have been. And I was on a boat in the Kanawha River, and a storm came up one time, and I was ready to get off. And I seen the clouds and the lightning. I was done boating for the day. But you don't have that option when you're out in the middle of the sea or out in the middle of the ocean. You have to weather the storm. The disciples couldn't understand what Jesus doing sleeping, so they went to wake him up. The Bible says, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Then our next is Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. I want to speak to you this morning about who's in the ship. Who is in the ship of your life? Who are you following? Who's in the ship? Heavenly Father, help us this morning. Dear God in heaven, we look to you, Lord, as just an agent of the Word of God, an agent of the Gospel. Dear Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning with faith and confidence, and God, ask you to help us to not just preach this truth, but let it be life-changing to the folks that are here. God, use this time, this hour that we have, Lord, these few minutes that we have set aside as your servants, Lord, and as weak and feeble as we are, Lord, we need you, and God, we need your help. We need you in our lives, Lord. We need your hand upon us. And without you, Lord, it is impossible, Father, for us to function properly. And Lord, we look to you, Father, to increase our faith. And God, help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus. Jesus, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible says he came to his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that call upon his name. Then it says, we beheld his glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son of the Father, the only begotten of the Father. We've seen that. Jesus is the Word become flesh. He walked on this earth, and his disciples on this occasion, they entered into a ship. Let me just say this as a parallel thought. Every person here, you're on a voyage. You're on a course that God has set for your life. When you got saved, God said entered into the ship. And we're on the ship at sea in this life. And you don't know all the storms that are coming, but there are storms coming. There are someone I've seen an advertisement, and I may preach and may mention this very thing tonight also. But someone said that come to our church. This is the church where burdens are lifted. Now that sounds good, but the truth of the matter is, really what you need is not to have your burdens lifted. You need to understand who bears your burden alongside of you, and that's Jesus. The truth of the matter is, there's no church or preacher anywhere, Brother Mullins, that could promise to lift people's burdens. The Apostle Paul had a burden. He had a thorn in the flesh. Tony walked in and told me what it was just a few minutes ago. He just heard the preacher on the way here or this morning say that it could have been that he was married. Might have been the thorn in the flesh. And he whispered it when he told me, but I'm going to tell it publicly. And he'll pay for that one. But listen, my wife thought that was funny. I couldn't believe you'd say something like that. Can you imagine that? I mean, you married me, can you imagine anybody even repeating something like that? But listen, understand this, though. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Who knew what it was? The Bible doesn't tell what his thorn in the flesh was. If I would ask you to raise your hand, some of you could possibly raise your hand and say that there's particular things, there's ailments that you have, things that you would like for God to fix, that if God did fix them, you feel like you could do better or do more for the Lord. And I've had folks tell me, boy, if such and such wasn't the case, I feel like I could do more. But the truth of the matter is, if it wasn't for such and such, you may not have a desire to do anything. It could be that that thorn in the flesh is what draws you to God. It could be that that thorn in the flesh is what compels you to pray. It could be that that thorn in the flesh is what causes you to open your Bible up, the Scriptures of God, and read and study because you want to find help. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find grace to help in time of
need.
What causes need? A thorn in the flesh, a problem, a burden, a trial. There are all kinds of good Christian people that do their best to raise their children. And as they raise their children, this problem arises. The child disobeys, turns away from God. And you say, God, what can I do about this? And that causes you to pray more. It causes you to have a burden. So why you might go to the church and say, come here, we'll lift your burden. The truth of the matter is, it's not what you need someone to lift your burden. It's you need someone to point you to the one who is the burden bearer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These disciples were aboard a ship. They trusted Jesus, who said to them, let's cross over to the other side. These men had been on ships before, and they were careful about their voyages, and they were sure to plan things out, and they probably knew the weather forecasts and all those things, being seasoned veterans of the sea themselves. And so they went ahead and they trusted Him. They didn't think twice about it. They didn't even check the forecast, or they didn't consult anybody. They just assumed everything would be okay because Jesus said, let's go get aboard the ship. They assumed that because Jesus said it, there would be nothing to worry about. There's no need to concern, no need to consult. You know how many people think that when they get saved, all their problems are over? They think they get saved, now I'll get saved, and I'll never have another trial, I'll never have another tribulation. And brother, listen, and just as soon as you get saved and some problem arises, the old devil comes along and says, well, I thought you were saved. I thought God loved you. I thought all your problems were over with now. Well, listen, if God loved you and God really saved you, you wouldn't be going through this. But friend, listen, here's an example, a first-hand example of Jesus while He was in the flesh, walking with His disciples. He led them aboard a ship right into the middle of a storm that caused them to be in jeopardy. They weren't overreacting. Don't misunderstand. They were acting according to their feelings. The ship was being tossed. They weren't ready for this storm. They weren't prepared for this storm. They hadn't expected the storm to come. And they were taking on water and they were about to sink. And they said, what are we going to do? Let's get Jesus. He's one that led us over here. They didn't have the confidence in Him that you and I have. I hope you have. You say, preacher, why didn't they? Because they hadn't read as much of the Bible as we have. You say, preacher, I'd like to have met Jesus. Well, here's some people that met Him and walked with Him and ate with Him, or depending on where you come, they ate with Him. I got in a fight over there when I was a little boy. My buddy said, it's et, and I said, it's eight. So we got in a fight, rolled around in the snow, me and Curtis Sowers. We fought for an hour over et and eight. And he ate eggs and I ate eggs, so we fought about it. Amen? But listen, and here's the thing. I mean, these disciples walked with Him. They slept by Him. They camped by the same fire that He camped by and traveled with Him. But when they got aboard the ship, they trusted Him enough to get aboard the ship, but they didn't, once the storm arose, they came to Him and they said, we're going to perish. What's wrong here? He was asleep. And He said to them in both recorded instances, recorded different a little bit in both times, one by Matthew, one by Luke, shows us. Luke, by the way, was more detailed in all of his writings. He was a doctor.
Right.
And I love to read the book of Luke. Every book is different for a reason. It gives a different account of the same thing, not contradictions. It's a different account.
Right.
Four witnesses of the same thing that God gives for us. And most people require two witnesses, and God gave us four, amen, of His life on here on earth. But so we have the story here, and these disciples in the midst of the storm, they become fearful. So they go to Jesus and wake Him up, and he, before He rebukes the sea, He rebukes the disciples. Oh, ye of little faith, He says to them, where is your faith? And then He steps out and rebukes the sea. I'm going to tell you this, before God can fix your problem, He's got to fix us.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to preach a long message. I'm not done just yet. But I'm going to tell you this morning. You're saved. You're going to face trials, Tommy. You're going to face difficulties. I mean, you want to live for God? You want to follow God? You say, well, I'll just follow God and I'll do everything that God says and there'll be no more trials, no more burdens, no more afflictions. It'll all be better then. No, friend, because Jesus could, well, rightfully lead you right into the middle of the storm.
Right.
Don't ever be deceived by the idea. Now you say, well, preacher, you're not encouraging me. You're not giving me much hope. Why should I follow the Lord if I'm going to have to face some trials or some afflictions? That's the reason you say, I want to follow Him because I don't want to have any more problems. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not one of those preachers on television that's trying to sell you a book. I'm trying to preach the truth to you. Jesus didn't say this life would be a bed of roses. There will be suffering, and there will be trials, and there will be persecutions. Can I tell you something that God has shown to me? If you ever go to an emergency room or to an intensive care unit, they have on the outside what's called a waiting room. And can I tell you this, that you'll find two kinds of people in the waiting room. You'll find people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, and you'll find people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are not saved. You'll find this, though. You'll find that there's a different feeling about those who have faith in Christ than those who have no faith in Christ. Those sitting in the waiting room have this, the same tragic event may have happened in their life as what happened in the life of the believer. They might have somebody back there who was involved in a car wreck and near to death, and the Christian has someone back there who was involved in a car wreck and near to death. But there's a difference, friend. Listen, the Christian can call out to God. The Christian has confidence in God and can pray, God, help us through this thing. Right. And they know that God is the one who allowed that storm.
Right.
At least they ought to. The unbeliever sits there and all they can say is, why? All they can say is, I hope they get through. All they can do, and by the way, I'm not a finger-crossing Christian. If you want to be, you can be. I don't rely on luck. I don't rely on crossing my fingers. I don't rely on chance. Friend, listen, hey, that's what they rely on at the casino. That's what they rely on at the dog track. That's what they rely on when they scratch the lottery ticket off. Friend, listen, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is faith and confidence in God and in His Word. And friend, listen, the more you read that book right there, the more confidence and faith you'll have in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because the storms, rest assured, the storms are coming. The trials are coming. The bad days are coming for every one of us. But what makes the difference to the bad day is our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
I don't like those kinds of days. I hate those phone calls. I'm almost afraid to hear the phone ring, by the way. You ever get that way where you, someone will call and say, oh no, this is going to be bad news. I put the phone beside my bed at nighttime, and every time that I haven't had it there, something bad's happened. I woke up one morning and heard a recording of a voice of a man saying, this is it, I'm dying. And I my phone had been turned off accidentally, and I had to call and find out and see if they were dead or alive or not. But listen, I put the phone there at nighttime or the morning, and you just wait. You go to sleep. I don't worry about it, but those phone calls come.
Yeah.
I've got some kids there, some youngins, amen, and we've had times with them in the hospital, and we've had times when little Kayla was in the hospital back there last summer, and she was doing fine, and she quit gaining weight, and we took her into the hospital, and they did all the tests on her and all the things, and they couldn't find anything. Then after 10 days, they were going to let her come home, and that morning, Jessica called. I was coming to get them. Jessica called and said that they come in, and they're going to test her for one more thing. They think that she has such and such, and that they think that this is what it is. And she was crying. I said, what are you crying for? She said, well, they say that she'll never be able to walk. She'll not live past 10 years old if this is what it is. And they went on and on and on and talked about it. And I got there, and the social worker was there to talk to me, Brother Miles. And she said, well, I want to talk to you. And I said, okay. She said, what are you going to do if this is what it is? I said, what do you mean, what am I going to do? I said, what can I do? I said, for one, we don't know. I wasn't being rude to her, but I mean, she asked me a question that there was no answer for. I said, if it is, I said, for one, I don't think it is. And I said, I think the tests are going to come back different than what you think they are. I said, but if they are, I said, what can I do about it? I said, pray about it, trust God, and we'll just do what we can do. That's all I can do.
All right.
What am I going to throw my hands up and say, well, here, take her back?
We don't want it anymore. No, listen. We'll just trust God and have confidence in God. But friends, neither you nor I nor anybody in the right mind enjoys those kinds of situations.
That's right.
We don't enjoy that.
No.
You've heard John tell his testimony about whenever he was in the wreck and had his teeth and was there. But the Mullins wouldn't want to. I mean, he's thankful that God saw them through that time, but you don't want to relive that, do you?
No,
you don't want to go through that again. Neither any of you that have ever been through a time like that. We don't like death in our family. We don't like sickness in our family. We don't like those times. But thank God that as we get through them, we find out that Jesus is able to see us through. He's able to see. I'm looking there. Debbie, you had a case like that early on with one of your children, and God saw you through that. And you don't, if you remember those things, and you don't want to go through those things again, but you see that God leads us through them.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing that I want you to understand. Jesus was asleep on the ship. Don't miss this. Was Jesus on the ship or not? He was. Let me ask you a question. How many disciples would you say were on the ship? 12. Let me ask, listen, what's the problem? This is just this little thought that God gives me. Of those 12 disciples on that ship, and Jesus asleep in the bottom of the ship, did the thought ever cross your mind, or did the idea ever come into your head as to why Jesus was asleep? Listen. How many of you are saved and you believe Jesus is in your life right now? He's there.
Yeah.
Listen. The reason Jesus was asleep was because there wasn't nobody there with Him. He went to sleep because no one needed Him. No one, not one of those disciples, none of them had a question to ask Him that caused it to stay awake. Maybe before he went to sleep, he may have been walking up there on the deck with all of the disciples, and he may have just been there, and none of them had anything to ask him. They didn't have any, so he just said, I think I'll just go lay down. He didn't leave. He didn't jump off the ship and say, he could walk on water. He could have been out of there. He just went to sleep. He was still on the ship. He was still there. He was still available for them, but they had to come wake him up when they needed him.
Yeah.
You know how many people, their Christian life is exactly just like that? The only time they really talk to the Lord is when they need Him. Because they don't realize they need Him all the time. When everything's okay, when there's no storm on the sea, and the sun's shining, and the wind's blowing just right, everything's good, they just go on about their business. The truth of the matter is, they hope God doesn't bother them. And they just kind of have a little silent agreement with God. You don't bother me, I won't bother you. God, you just let me go ahead and live my life the way I want to live. Go to church when I want to go. Read my Bible when I want to read my Bible. God, I'll pray when I need to. And God, you don't bother me and I won't bother you. But if I ever really get in a big mess, I'll call you and let you know.
That's poor stuff,
isn't it? Friend, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my Christian life that way. He said, preacher, that challenges me. I want to challenge you, friend. Listen, I'm saying this, that I don't claim to be a very good Christian, but if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was aboard a ship that I was on also, I wouldn't want Him to be down there sleeping. You say, well, maybe He was sleepy and they were showing Him respect. Well, this, you think whatever you want to, but I want to be with Him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be talking to Him. How many of you, if you thought Jesus was on the ship, you'd let Him go down there and sleep, or you'd want to go down there and talk to Him? I'd at least be down there looking at Him, wouldn't you? I want to watch how He sleeps. Amen. I said, Lord, can I ask you a question? I want to talk to you about something. Let's talk for a few minutes and hear. I mean, they may not have had the confidence in Him that we have, but at least they had enough confidence in Him to follow Him. But He was, as He is in so many people's lives, who are Christians, because they didn't need Him, because they could handle the ship by themselves, everything was okay. When they weren't looking, He just slipped down into the lower deck, found Him a comfortable place, closed His eyes, maybe said, well, if they need me, they know where to find me. I promised them I'd never leave them nor forsake them.
I made a promise. I keep my word. I'm not going to leave the ship. They might need me. They will. There's a storm coming. They don't know it. They don't figure they need me right now. But when that storm hits, they'll know where to find me. And there he was, asleep. Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you rather have a relationship with Jesus before the storm hits than to always live your Christian life running to Him in the midst of the storm? Now, don't get me wrong. Don't believe the lie of the devil. The devil says, comes on and says, well, you go ahead, and if you're going to live that way, you go ahead and do that. That's better than not praying at all. But it's a sad way to live your Christian life. Because Jesus says, I'm here day by day.
Amen.
I mean, I'm here. Jesus, if you're saved, He's there when the paycheck's good. He's there when the work's good. He's there when everybody's in good health. But so often we just let day after day after day after day after day pass, and we neglect to spend time with Him. And He steals Himself in a quiet solitude place in our life and lets us go on our way, knowing that when the storm comes, we'll come looking for Him. I don't live my Christian life that way. I don't want Jesus to be asleep aboard the ship of my life. I want to check every day throughout the day. I have a little girl that's just turned three, Kayla. How many times would you say that Kayla will tell you during the day, I love you, Mom? About 400 times? And she'll want a kiss or so every once in a while. And I love you. Have a kiss. Have a kiss. I love you. Especially when you go to sleep at night, she's got to come give Daddy 10 kisses. And then when she goes to sleep, she's got to get up and come and give me another kiss. When I was a little boy, can you imagine that little boy on the farm, 100-some acre farm? There was nobody around. There was one boy that lived around me nearby. And the first time he came to my house, he threw his little sister in front of him because the dogs came out. He was afraid, so he wasn't much fun to play with. I never enjoyed his company very much. So I had imaginary friends. And now I won't tell you their names because you'll laugh at me. But Mom will tell you if you talk to her afterwards. She'll be glad to tell you their names. But Dad worked, and as a boilermaker, he was going a lot. And I'd go out in the yard, and there was a big walnut tree. And Mom would be there, and I'd say, Mom, I'm going to go over to the walnut tree. I'm going to go over to the tree. And if so-and-so comes while I'm going, you tell them I'll be back in a few minutes. And I'd go out and play, but she'll tell you, I wouldn't play very long when I'd come in the house and just check, make sure she was there. I mean, I knew she was there, but I wanted to see her. I wanted to make sure she knew that I was looking to make sure she was there. I remember we had hogs, and one morning I woke up, and she had gone out to feed the hogs, and I couldn't find her. I looked all over the house. I cried and screamed, neglected, and because I just expected her to be there. And listen, let me ask you a question. Someday you're going to wake up in your Christian life, and there's going to be a storm on the horizon. And you're going to look around, and you're going to say, I need help. And you're going to panic. And you're going to be in jeopardy, and you're going to think you're going under. And then you're going to find Jesus asleep in the ship. You're going to wake Him up. And I hope the first words He says to you are, where's your faith? Oh, your little faith. And here's how to fix that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to have great faith every day of your life. Read this book right here. The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone. On the Word of God. I don't know whether you pay attention to the news or not, but I believe there are storms on the horizon for Christians in America. Listen, we're not necessarily enjoying the religious freedom that we enjoyed 40 or 50 years ago. Say, preacher, what are you going to do? Increase my faith? I'm going to keep reading my Bible.
I'm going to keep, by God's help, I'm going to keep trying to walk with God and spend time with Him and live for Him. I don't know what the future holds and what storms will arise in my lifetime, in my family, in my future. But I don't want to have to wait till the storm comes to run down in the basement and wake God up and say, Jesus, can you help me now? I don't want Him to look at me and say, oh, you have a little faith. Listen, because every time you read this book right here, this Bible, your faith increases. When you come to church and hear the preaching, your faith increases.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk with Him, your faith increases.
Sure.
Is Jesus asleep on your ship? Would you rather just go home in a little while and sit down and watch television, relax and take it easy, enjoy your day off? Or would you rather spend time with Jesus? You going to forget about Him between now and next Sunday? Or are you going to spend time with Him Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and come back in here next Sunday having walked with Jesus? You going to wait till next Sunday to come in here and find out Jesus is still with you? Well, you know, I'd like to see a church full of people that know they're saved and believed in the Lord and walked with Him and spent time with Him. You know what this community needs? It needs people that know their God is alive.
Yep.
Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, God, for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. Dear God in heaven, if we're ever going to do anything for You, we mustn't let You sleep. Lord, everybody enjoys sleep. But Lord, we need You. Dear God, I want my life to be lived in such a way that You believe that I need You every hour of the day. Dear Heavenly Father, I need You every day, Lord, every hour. I don't want to just let You wander off and feel like I don't need You. I don't just need You when the storm comes, Lord. I need You all the time. And God, may we as Christians in this church this morning, those of us that are here, may we discern the reality. There are saved people that are a part of this church, Lord, that have sat in these pews. But right now, Lord, they don't feel like they need You, Lord, apparently. They've allowed the Lord to go to sleep in their life and they ignore the things of God. But when the storm comes, I'm thankful, Lord, that for Your promise that You said You wouldn't leave or forsake us. But God, help us to be faithful day after day to come to You and assure You that we need You. And there's no time to be sleeping. But we need You to be awake and alert and ready to help us. And God, we need our faith and confidence in You to increase day by day. And to know that God is alive and well and in control. God, help us this morning. In Your name we pray. God, bless the invitation. Lord, I pray that the people of God will be honest with the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit deals with us. May we be honest with You, and more may we use this altar so that we might be better Christians for Your sake. God, help us now in Jesus' name. Let's all stand, our heads bowed and eyes closed. And if God spoke to your heart this morning in any way, shape, or form, even the least or the greatest, you ought to come this morning. He's laid on your heart. You ought to pray. This is what it's all about, friend. You don't just come to the altar every 5 years or when you backslide. You come to the altar when God deals with your heart. God, you